Good morning. I greet you in Christ's name again this morning. This morning's message wasn't what I was really looking forward to. There's some passages here I've been going through 1 John that are overlapping with James, so I've skipped over them. But I didn't really have an excuse to skip over this one, so here we are. Warning of the Antichrist. And one thing to clarify this morning, there's two different Antichrists that we see in Scripture. We see what's called the uppercase Antichrist, and this is the deception and deceiving one in Revelation, that the revelation to John, ironically. And then there's the Antichrists, and these are many Antichrists. They are among us today. These are people who oppose Christ, and that is going to be the main source of our topic here this morning. The goal of this morning's message is to bring light to these false teachers and these antichrists among us, and we're going to look at what Scripture says and how to combat these antichrists. How do we deal with these people that are living among us and influencing us in many different ways? So let's read the passage. This morning's passage will be 1 John chapter 2. We'll be beginning at verse 18 and to 27. 1 John 2, 18 through 27, I'll read that at this time. Children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just that it was taught to you, abide in him. So John starts off addressing his audience, children, it is the last hour. And it is speculated that John is around 80 to 90 years old at this point in his ministry. And if you're 80 or 90 years old, you have the right to call anybody a child. So he announces, children, it is the last hour. And so he's older. Christ has been resurrected and ascended into heaven, and so there's this anticipation of Christ's return. And even in John's day, it was thought of that Christ could return at any moment. So he says we're living in the last hour, and as also John would have in Revelation 22:12, Christ says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, and in 22:7, it says the same thing, I am coming quickly. So this is first and foremost in John's mind, that Christ could be coming at any time. And so he says it is the last hour. And if it was the last hour in John's day, 2,000 years later, I think we're in the last seconds of Christ's coming. Verse 19 says, they went out from us. These are false teachers in the early church. There were Christians who went out from the church and were working against the church. So John brings to attention these people that have left the faith. They have left the church, and they are now in opposition to the church. They are anti-Christs. And I think even in the ministry today, these are the hardest people to reach. They have just enough knowledge of Christ and Christianity, but they lack the understanding of the truth that is therein. These people are the hardest to reach. It's the people that are downtrodden, that are rock bottom, that come to an understanding of a Savior that are more acceptable to it, not those that have been raised in it and reject it. So who are the Antichrists? Anyone who opposes Christ or puts themselves in the place of Christ. Anti means the opposite of, instead of, Antichrist, instead of Christ, opposing Christ. The Antichrists occur, it's actually in Revelation, it spoke of the beast. It's not actually said and the Antichrist, but that's referred to as the uppercase Antichrist. This would be considered lowercase Antichrists. And John is the only one who touches on that. There are four verses, but it's referred to four times. And I'm going to read those verses that we have. Two of those we've already read in our text, but there's another two that John speaks of in different books. The first one here is our text, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. And as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Verse 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is in the world already. And then finally, in 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So who are the Antichrist? One who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh. Two, he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Three, he who denies that Jesus is from God. And four, he who denies the Father and the Son. So how do we know if the spirit is of Antichrist or of Christ? Chapter 4 tells us not to believe every spirit, but to test the spirits. Chapter 4 verses 1 through 3. Behold, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is in the world already. I've heard people that have demonic spirits, and we don't hear a lot taught of or the teaching of casting out demons. That's not something I grew up with, but it is a reality. And I've heard that of different spirits that these people that are casting out these spirits will ask them specifically, do you believe that Christ has come in the flesh and that he is of God? And those people cannot physically answer that question because of the demonic spirit. They will not acknowledge that Christ has come in the flesh. And that is the way to acknowledge that demonic presence in that person, is whether or not they acknowledge Christ came in the flesh and that he is of God. So how are we to know these false Christs, these antichrists, from the true Christ? You know, it's just like I was speaking to the kids in the children assembly. I said it's just like the people in our government that look out for counterfeit bills. They don't spend time studying a falsely printed $100 bill because that can change. They focus and study the $100 bill front and back. They know every little detail. They know everything to work with. So when they see the counterfeit, they can spot it and say that that's a false print. In the same way, we understand what is false. We study the scripture. We study it front and back. And when the Antichrist, or when a counterfeit comes along, a false teacher, and says this is truth, we can say, not according to the Word of God, that is not true. We study the Scripture to know what is true and what is false. What is the false Christ that are among us? We look to the world. We look to the Word. In the same way, different counterfeits money can change one from another. They look back to the real dollar bill. And in the same way, we look to the Bible for the truth. And if God's word is altered in any way or form, it becomes counterfeit. You think of the Jeffersonian Bible. We think of our great founders as being Christian men. They were not Christian. They were deists. They believed in a God. And Jefferson actually took Scripture, parts of it, and assembled the Jeffersonian Bible. That's counterfeit. That's not the true word of God. How are some other ways that we spot antichrists? Antichrists are wolves in sheep clothing at times. They speak part truths. You know, a lot of social media and news media, they can manipulate the truth by speaking part truths. So they can say something that is true, but it's not the full truth. They pick and choose and organize and orchestrate it in a way that favors what they want the truth to be. In the same way, false teachers will take God's word, they'll tweak it slightly, make it look appealing, but in the end, it's a false truth. Some of the false truths among us, and concerning the Pope and Catholicism, and the Reformers, would agree with this, and this is including John Calvin, but Luther wrote this about the Pope. Concerning the papacy, he wrote this: "This teaching of the supremacy of the Pope shows forcefully that the Pope is the very Antichrist, who has exalted himself above and opposed himself against Christ, because he will not permit Christians to be saved without his power, which, nevertheless, is nothing, and is neither ordained or commanded by God." This is probably speaking to exalt himself, is properly speaking to exalt himself above all that is called God. The Pope, however, permits this faith, saying that to be saved, a person must obey him. Anyone who puts himself in the place of Christ is Antichrist. Priests are the face of God's mercy in the community, representing when he forgives a person's sin, but that's a falsehood. We do not go through man to receive forgiveness of sin. That's in Christ and Christ alone, and that's an act of Antichrist. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. I did some research into their beliefs of who Christ is, and they both subtly deny that Christ is part of the Trinity. From JehovahsWitness.org, I found this, and this is stated there on their website: "We follow the teachings and example of Jesus Christ and honor him as Savior and as the Son of God. Thus, we are Christians." That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I fall in line with that. However, an important word here, however, we have learned from the Bible that Jesus is not Almighty God and that there is no scriptural basis for the Trinity doctrine. The Latter-day Saints website.org states this: "Mormons hold the unique belief that God the Father and Jesus Christ are two distinct beings. Mormons believe that God and Jesus Christ are wholly united in their perfect love for us, but that each is a distinct personage with his own perfect glorified body." They would also say that Christ existence is not eternal, that Christ was made from God. Both of these religions reject the Trinity and the Son for who he truly is, the triune Godhead. John 10:30 states that "I and the Father are one." not two people, not three people, but one. Verse 23 of our text, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Father has the Son. So they have denied the Son in this, and they do not have the Father. That's deception. When we, our family, took a trip 2 years ago this spring, we went out west and we saw, we did a loop from the Tetons to Yellowstone. We come back down through Idaho, and we were coming through Utah on our way to Moab, and decided, well, let's just stop in here at Salt Lake City. I want to see what this is all about. Beautiful city. You will not see a cleaner city, probably in the States. It's very clean, well kept. You know, the Mormons have very, you know, high moral standards, and that carries through with their government there in the city. And we went to the tabernacle at that time was under construction. So we went to their big, it's like a conference center. When you hear the Mormon choir, it's at the big, your organ is there. It's, this church would fit in the corner off to the side, massive. Huge organ. We were in there, listened to the organist play a couple of numbers, one of the biggest organs in the world. All these wonderful things and elaborate, they have statues of their saints that have went before them and all these beautiful things, and I just left there, and we were leaving it and walking out on the streets. I just felt so burdened. It's like these people have no understanding of the truth of the gospel, and they've been deceived, thousands of people being deceived, and I was just burdened as I walked away from there. And we were walking down the street, and this young guy and a lady comes up to me and, hey, can we ask you a couple questions? I was like, oh boy, here we go. And they started asking me questions, and the longer they talked, the more I was like, well, this doesn't sound like Mormon teaching. And to find out that it was a youth group from South Dakota that had come to Salt Lake City to minister to the Mormons. And one of their questions is, are you LDS? And I was like, LDS? What does that mean? Latter-day Saint. I'm like, no, we're believers. But at any rate, I've told people on our trip out west, we saw some beautiful things, but the most beautiful thing I saw was a 13-year-old boy muttering through the gospel, stuttering, stammering, but he was preaching the word of God, and that blessed me. And I walked away from that city thinking, you know what, there's hope for these people because the gospel is going forth from the mouth of a kid. And that just blessed me. And I look back to that and think, you know, what am I doing? Am I doing the same? Am I going out and proclaiming the word of God to these lost people? They are deceived. These people have been deceived. And are we doing our part in going out and ministering to others in the same way? How do we protect ourselves from the Antichrist? Revelation 19:20, and this is speaking of the Antichrist, the beast. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophets who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped the image. In the same way, the Antichrist of today are great deceivers. How do we protect ourselves from the Antichrist? We don't let our guard down. I've said it before, you don't fall into sin, you slide into sin. It's a slow progression that you let your guard down, you give in to temptation. It's a little bit over time, and the more you give in to that temptation, the more calloused you are and let your guard down and give in to that sin. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. What's another way we protect ourselves? We study the scripture. 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Without the scripture, how can we know truth from error? Verse 20 in our text, we have an anointing by the Holy Spirit who gives us all knowledge. This word is our sword against the Antichrist. Our peers, who do we associate ourselves with? We do not fellowship with unbelievers. I'm not saying we don't sit down and have a meal with them, or we don't work alongside them, but rather we don't fellowship with them. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? The meaning of the word fellowship here is communion. We don't have a deep personal relationship with unbelievers. Over time, you can build respect for that person. And after you build respect, you start putting weight in what that person says. And over time, you start believing like they believe. Their opinions are your opinions, and they matter to you as well. I have two first cousins that were raised in good Christian homes. And, you know, I went to a Bible study. I was baptized with one. We went to Bible studies together, and he led Bible studies. They went off to, both of these cousins went off to college, and now they're both agnostics. And by the way, our public schools and colleges are one of the Antichrist's greatest tools for deceiving believers. We need to surround ourselves with brothers of a common faith. Fourthly, we are equipped. If we want to defeat Antichrist, we need to equip ourselves. You know, before we would, if we desire to go to a liberal college, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with that. But before we go into that kind of environment, we need to establish a solid worldview. We know what we believe, and we know why we believe it. We do not apologize for what we believe, because what we believe is based in Scripture. Because all Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. One generation is all it takes to go from a believing Christian family to an agnostic. I've seen it in my own family. Fathers, are you equipping your children? Are you teaching them God's word? Are you showing them the importance of church life? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child on the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Fathers, you are responsible for the spiritual well-being of your family. And it sickens me when I see women having to take this role because the father's spiritual leadership is absent. One of the greatest callings we have as fathers is to lead our families and to lead them to Christ. It doesn't mean we're perfect, because we're not by a long shot. But we lead them, we protect them, we nurture them. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fifthly, we are careful what we listen to. We are careful what we take in, whether that's social media or news. And I'm thinking mainly of preaching, online preaching, readily available. Many different theologies. There's a lot of New Age doctrine out there. We need to be very careful who we listen to. there are false teachers out there. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come in into you with sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Don't get me wrong, I think there's many good pastors and good material online, but there is some deception. I had to think of the Ravi Zachariah scandal. I listened to Ravi Zachariah a good bit. And yeah, the sexual perversions that he was in, and I did some research, and it's even worse than I thought. It's like, here's a man that I looked up to and looked at his teaching, and now it's all garbage. I can't trust anything he said. And looking back now, it's he never went into the text much. He spoke very philosophically and did a lot of debates, but he never went to the God's word much. And after that, I had to think, you know what? If somebody I look up to, a man, a preacher, ever stumbles or is involved in a scandal, that shouldn't affect my faith in God. Why? Because I put my faith in Christ and Christ alone. And these are men with sinful natures. So never look up to a man or individual so much that your faith is shaken when he falls, because your faith is in Christ. In closing, we are living in the last hour or the last minutes. And I think it's safe to say that the opposition to Christ has only grown in the last 2,000 years since John's writing here. We live in an anti-Christ society. We see that from our government. We see that in our schools. We see that on media. Therefore, we need to be vigilant. Not a second do we let down our guard. Men, we need to protect our wives and children. As a church, we need to speak truth into each other's lives if we see deception creeping in. 1 John 10:1 tells us, truly, truly, I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way. That man is a thief and a robber. We need to keep our walls high enough that the thief cannot get into the fold. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, and by doing so, train ourselves to spot the counterfeits of the world. We abide in the Son, enduring the trials of this life, knowing that one day we will be brought back into the fold in the care with the care of the Good Shepherd. Under his protection, we will never be tempted again. I'd like to end with verse 24 of our text. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Let's have a song.